Hearing that anthem and seeing the title reminded me of somebody saying there are two types of people in the world, those who wake up and say, "My Lord, what a morning!" And those who wake up and say, "My Lord, what a morning!" Here's hoping by being in worship, we see the gift that this morning is. I don't know about you, but it seems to me we are a culture in many ways fascinated by and focused on food. Who would have believed a generation ago that we'd have at least two cable channels devoted to cooking and food, and people would watch food being prepared that they wouldn't get to eat? And there's all sorts of jokes and reflections on the significance of food in our culture. A few years ago, Andy Rooney reported that the two biggest sellers in any bookstore are the cookbooks and the diet books. The cookbooks tell you how to prepare the food, and the diet books tell you how not to eat it. Orson Welles once said, "My doctor has advised me to give up those intimate little dinners for four unless there are three other people eating with me." One young boy watched his father as his dad finished a meal and loosened his belt before saying to his mother, "Look, Mom, Dad just moved his decimal point over two places." And at a late spring Weight Watchers meeting, one mother proudly admitted that this was the first Easter her kids had discovered that chocolate bunnies actually came with ears. There are plenty of jokes, plenty of stories that focus on food and fascination with food. And yet, still, so many of our commercials are focused on it. Those late night ones when you really know you shouldn't be eating have a way of drawing you in to want something you know is not good for you. And yet, as we think about this, I recognize I stand in a room where most of us aren't really worried about where the next meal will come from. We have enough that though we may say sometimes we're hungry, we don't live in the level of hunger that many do around our world. We probably don't live with the same level of hunger that many in Jesus' audience experienced many years ago. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, we see folks who have seen Jesus feed 5,000 men, plus the women and children, from a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. He disappears, they track him down. They want to see what he's going to do next. Remember, this is a culture that didn't have fast food places at every other corner where you could stop every time you were hungry. Many of them lived on one meal a day, if that. And so this fact that Jesus had just fed the multitudes and collected a bunch of leftovers makes them wonder, what can he do for us next? And so they track him down, hoping maybe to be fed again, hoping maybe to see what new thing he's going to do next. And as they come to him, Jesus gives them something they weren't expecting. He offers them a word from God, a different kind of nourishment, an invitation to discover that they're hungry at more than one level. Not just physically hungry, but there's something in them that hungers for more, and that in Him, that which they really hunger for at the deepest level of their souls can be met. And He begins to talk to them about being the bread of life. And how if you come to Him, you don't have to be hungry anymore. "I am the bread of life," He says. "He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And they look at Him confused. "You mean we don't have to eat tomorrow? I don't have to cook next week either?" They're talking, as often happens in the Gospel of John, at multiple levels. Over and over again, as I've pointed out a number of times in John's Gospel, Jesus uses metaphors or symbols from their everyday language. they understand it literally, but he's inviting them to hear it at a deeper level. They're talking, but not yet understanding each other. A few years back, there was a Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. Calvin, the precocious little boy who lived with a lot of imagination, comes into the kitchen and announces to his mom, who's reading the paper, "I'm hungry." He begins to climb up onto the counter to put his hand in the cookie jar. His mom says, "You can have an apple or an orange." He says, "But Mom, I want a snack. I'm hungry." And she says, "You can have an apple or an orange." And the last frame shows him stalking away, just frustration all over his face, saying, "We're both talking English, but we're not talking the same language." It wasn't English, but they were talking in a language they both knew, but Jesus is inviting them to experience something deeper and more significant. He's fed them from bread and fish, but now he wants them to understand that what he's come to offer is so much more, so much deeper, so much more significant and life-changing. Jesus is the bread of life. And it's a powerful image that invites us to think about feeding the needs of our souls. We have ways in which we use this kind of imagery to communicate something different. Maybe you've heard somebody say, "I devoured that book." They didn't take a literal bite out of it, did they? Sometimes a gullible person may say, "I swallowed that story, hook, line, and sinker." And some of you who are already grandparents may occasionally want to say to your young grandchild, "I could just eat you all up." We're not advocating cannibalism here. But we're using an image that talks of enjoyment, feasting on, filling our souls with something more than physical food. And when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he's inviting us into a relationship that meets the deepest longings of our souls. He's inviting us to feast on him and his word, to recognize that all the things of this world won't ultimately satisfy that which is deepest within us. But in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the hungers of our souls can find satisfaction. Early in this conversation, these folks who have been taught that you please God by keeping the law say, what must we do to do the works God requires? What have we got to do? Tell me what we've got to do, the laws we've got to keep. Tell me what I have to do, they say, so that God's happy with me. And Jesus says simply, "Believe in me and nourish your souls in a relationship with me." He invites them to believe, to trust, and to discover that that longing of our souls is found in a relationship, is met in a relationship with him. By being in his presence, studying his word, being in worship, being in Bible study, spending time in prayer, focusing our lives on God will fill the longings of our souls in ways no other thing of this world will. I've never been a big fisherman. But when I was a kid, there was one time I enjoyed going fishing. When I would go visit my grandparents, and my grandfather, who was an avid fisherman, would say, "Come on, we're going fishing." I loved it. By myself or with others, I always thought, "I hadn't caught anything. This is a waste of time." But somehow when I was with my grandfather, it didn't matter whether we caught fish or not. And usually with him we did. But I came back every single time I got to go fishing with my grandfather, blessed and grateful, because I had just enjoyed that time in his presence. With this image and some others we find in John's gospel, Jesus is inviting us to discover that he invites us into a relationship that allows us to enjoy his presence and discover that that which hungers inside of us can be fed by his grace, his presence, his love. We can bring to him the longings and hungers of our soul, the discouragement, the frustrations, the anxieties, trust them to him and discover that he can fill us with his peace, his joy, his abundance. It's in John's gospel. He says, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full, that they might have life more abundantly. And yet I've pointed out before, I look in my own life. I look in the lives of so many in church, and I see so many of us struggling, hurting, overwhelmed, not discovering the abundance, the joy, the peace, the satisfaction that Jesus says is available to us. Think with me honestly today. Are you satisfied and at peace in this world? Do you feel like the hungers of your soul are being fed? Or are you like so many of us, struggling, overwhelmed, anxious, not at peace? Yes, I know there's a level of being in this world will always keep us from being fully at peace. But Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger anymore. And he invites us into a relationship where we can feast on his presence, nourish our souls, and discover that the very things we need most, hunger for most, are met in Jesus Christ. I suspect if you look around like I do, you see a world filled with anxiety, struggle, anger. Seems like more than anything else, this political cycle has uncovered levels of anger that grow out of being unsatisfied, unhappy, not content, not believing that better days can come. So many of us have within us hungers, and we try to fill the hungers of our soul with things that really can't ultimately bring fulfillment. How many times do we go to the pantry or the refrigerator, not because we're really hungry, but just because we're anxious and trying to fill a hunger that food may not? How many times do we try to fill the inner unease with more stuff or more investment in job or hobby or something else? How many times do we find ourselves wishing, if I could just get away or run away, life could get better? Are you hungry today? Deep inner hunger for fulfillment, for meaning, for purpose, for a sense that you are loved and acceptable? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When we come to Jesus, truly open, quit letting go of our need to be in control, letting go of our need to tell God how things need to happen, and trust ourselves into his care, we can find that the bread of life nourishes and satisfies. in a moment will come to a table. A table of remembrance. A table where through bread and cup we are reminded of Jesus who gave his life on a cross. And I know a little piece of bread and a little cup of juice won't keep you from wanting lunch in a little bit. But as we receive the elements, we are invited to receive them as a gift, a reminder from Jesus who says, I give you my body, I give you my blood, I give you myself, and I invite you to trust, to nourish your soul on Christ. This table is a reminder that Jesus has given his all for us. He's shown his trustworthiness. He invites us to feed our souls on him. In 1 Kings 19, we're told of a time that Elijah was on the run, literally for his life. Queen Jezebel was trying to kill him. He'd run. He was hiding. He reached the point where he was ready to give up and he just wanted to die. And in that moment, an angel came to him twice, telling him, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. That was an invitation to a meal to feed his body. But that language speaks of this meal as well to me. Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. The world is difficult. The challenges of life are real and painful. So come and eat, Jesus says, for the journey is too difficult for you. Come and eat as a reminder that Jesus has given us his all, and he is the bread of life. Will you pray with me? Feed us, Lord. Nourish us. Show your faithfulness. Meet us right where we are and remind us that you are faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.